This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 22nd, episode 1175, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
What's going to happen?
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
That's right, it's Friday. Thank you very much for joining us on our last Friday here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be starting our new system. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But Jamie, first I saw, wait a minute. I mean, I can't talk about this unless it's official. And I'm going to find it first. Because, there it is.
Across the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the blooming heavens roar, you'll behold
you posted a picture of Thor. You went on a long trail ride through the zoo of your neighborhood. And how did he make out? Did he freak out at any peacocks or lions or tigers?
He was so good. So for those who don't know, I live in an equestrian neighborhood, but more of it's like everybody has 2 or 3 acres and there's irrigation canals behind everybody's property. So you can ride all around this neighborhood. But you're riding like basically where you can see everybody's backyard if they don't have a big wall built, which is scary. So the people in this neighborhood have the craziest animals. There's a person in our neighborhood who has a Zorse. Yeah, that's right. Half zebra, half horse. You don't think that's scary? We got minis, goats, sheep, pigs, cows, peacocks, like you get everything. And there's a little area at the, it's about a mile away. But you have to pass through it if you want to take a long ride. And we call it the funnel of death because it is a funneling area where you have to kind of go through this left and right, left and right. And on both sides, there's a, on the left, a stallion that greets you at a dead gallop. And
yeah,
past
I love
that
those.
Is a bunch of mares and foals. And it's on the left side, it's like spook worthy. And on the right side is our dear colorful neighbors that have more junk in their yard. I mean, it's packed full and they have fiestas at about every evening around 5 o'clock to the tune of like having 100 people in their backyard full of junk with, they've actually had mariachi bands back there that I've ridden by. So I have yet to take head. Yet to take Thor through the funnel of death. We'd usually get close and turn around. Well, we did it. We went through the funnel of death and we came out on the other side totally fine. The funnel of death also has peacocks on the roof and they jump down at you when you're going by. So that's, you got attacks from the air.
Where do
well.
You live? In Guatemala? Where do you live?
It is so, that's a little slice of Mexico right there is what that is. And you know what? It gets your horse trained. So you love to do it. And he was so good. My Mustang is 100 times less spooky than my thoroughbred. I mean, Edward jigs his way through there. He spooks left, right, left, right. He spooks so bad to both sides that he just goes straight, which is nice because he doesn't want to go too far either way. Thor totally was chill through the whole thing. The only thing that really bothered him, and it's understandable with his, you know, past of being a wild horse, was when dogs came running up to the fence and smack hit the fence, mm-hmm. barking and growling. And so that really got him upset, but he was fine right after he realized what it was. But, like, I could see the dog coming, and I'm, like, trying to turn. I'm like, here comes one, here comes one, here comes one, because I take my dogs with me, and dogs hate other dogs that are walking in their backyard. So he was so good. I just could not love that horse anymore. I'm so thrilled.
Now, the stallion that comes running up, what breed is he?
He's an Appaloosa.
Okay, so the reason I asked that is we also have a stallion that comes running up to the fence, but he's a Pasifino, so he looks like Tinkerbell when he's doing it. you know, he's this big stallion, big neck, and he whinnies, and he acts all tough, and he comes running up. It's like ding, 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 up to the fence.
They just don't look tough when they do that.
No, you know? No, it takes some of the stallionish out of it.
Yeah. And now you posted a video of your horse who clearly needs to get turned out in a small paddock with cows.
Yeah. Well, you know, he lives beside the cows when he's out at night in the back pasture. The cows are across, like 10 feet from him are the cows. But yesterday morning, we go to bring the horses in, and these two Black Angus cows that live at the house next door were in my landlord's yard. And I said to Jennifer, I don't think they're supposed to be over there. And we walked down, and sure enough, a big tree branch had fallen on the wooden fence and crushed it. And they managed to crawl out. You know, cows will get out of anything.
The cows are out. The cows are out. Honey, exactly. The cows are out. That's like what happens in my house.
So they came up to the field beside where Scooter was. Well, Scooter determined that they weren't supposed to be there. That's not where the cows are supposed to be, is in the field beside his up there. So he started taking off. He did that for about 5 minutes. I posted a video there. He was looking very Hackney-ish, wasn't he? His little legs. He actually had some action. He was looking Hackney-ish.
So we're going to have to call BS on this. Oh, I'm so tired.
I know.
I can't possibly trot fast down the road.
I know. I know. That's what I thought when I saw that. I was like, yeah, liar. Lazy ass.
Well, you know what I thought when I saw it? I thought this.
It's your last time.
My little pony.
You better play it a lot.
All right. So for those who don't know, we did a show the other day to test it. But we are going to come to you next Tuesday, like different. You're not going to recognize us because the sound quality of a new system that we're implementing on Tuesday is going to rock your world. We did a little sound test, and the music that we were playing, I didn't know it sounded like that because it sounds crappy to me, too. I can't hear, sometimes we can't hear each other, and everything is muffled and muted, and it sounds like we're on AM radio. Well, Tuesday, all that changes, and you're going to listen Tuesday and be like, ah, they sound like that? Forget it, I'm not listening anymore. So very well can happen. Hang with us, though. You'll get used to it.
I want to talk more about that in my Daily Whinny, but first, let's find out from Jennifer what's coming up. We have a bunch of guests today. A lot's going on in our last day on Blog Talk Radio.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. Starting us out, Jesse from Glam and Glips is going to stop by to tell us how over-the-top and totally awesome custom hat design isn't just for cowboys anymore. And then mid-show, Shauna Koresh is going to stop by. I haven't seen her in a while. And she's going to tell us about a course she is teaching at the University of Guelph.
You better say it right or Philip gets mad and then he calls you names. Fine. Yeah. Get it right.
And bringing the show to a side-splitting finish, it's going to be really bad ads. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Whinny goes out to our terrific auditors who the other night helped us test the new system we're going to have here on Horses in the Morning starting Tuesday. And they stayed with us for almost an hour. We were just goofing off, having a good time. It turned out to be a lot of fun. We had a good time with the auditors. A couple of them called in and we chatted with some of them. So it was a lot of fun. And
now, There was a lot of inside information that was thrown out by me. I talked way too much. And after the show, I was like, I should not have told those people those things. So if you do want to hear all the things that kind of like the inner monologue of Jamie, then you can be an auditor too. And I think you do that by going to horsesinthemorning.com, right, Glenn?
Yep, there's just a big banner in the middle of the page. For as little as a dollar a month, you can do that. But we probably had about 15 of them with us that night, and it was a lot of fun, and we got to test out some of the new systems. Now, this is what we're doing. This is what Jennifer has named it. I don't think you heard this yet, Jamie. So Monday, there's no show because it's a holiday here in the United States, so there's no show Monday. But Tuesday, Jamie's going to make a special Tuesday appearance because, as Jennifer is calling it, she is calling it our schooling show. So Tuesday, we're going to have a Hit 'em schooling show, which means anything and everything could go wrong, and you have to forgive us because it's a schooling show. We're just practicing Tuesday, but it'll be live.
That's where you go to learn.
That's right. That's right.
Go to the schooling show to screw up.
Well, we're gonna have a chance of doing that on Tuesday. So we are going to have a full show for you, but we'll be testing out the new systems, and not everything may work the way we had planned. But that's what Tuesday's for. So if you like disasters, if you're one of those that pulls over to see the car wreck, then Tuesday's your day. You want to listen to Tuesday's show. But you'll be able to hear us because the sound will be so much better. So much better.
Yeah. I wanted to share a text message from my dear sweet husband who finally, he was supposed to be there a week ago, finally has landed his F-16 in Indonesia. Indonesia. I got a text from him at 1 a.m., okay? And it says, made it to Iswajudi. I'm in Indonesia. We made it. Can't talk now. We'll try you later. Love you. Well, let me tell you something, honey. I can't talk at 1 a.m. either. So thank you for not calling repeatedly. I appreciate it.
So is he going to be home sometime soon? Seems like it's been a long time.
It has been a very long time, and I think that my child has responded poorly to this trip because he's, like I said, Wednesday, he's like a piece of Velcro. He won't get off me. He won't get off me. I love him, but like he'll hold on to me and then cry at the same time. And I'm like, what do you want? I don't understand. So, he gets home. He was supposed to get home today. But they're thinking maybe not until at least Monday. Well, I am having a birthday party for Lucas on Monday because I'm going to be out of town during his actual birthday. So I'm having a birthday party with about 35 people, you know, with all their kids and stuff that are coming over on Monday around 3 o'clock. I got a phone call last night. We're having our kitchen redone and they were like, hey, we're going to come tomorrow. Can you empty out your kitchen cabinets? What? So I have been packing basically with this child who is like a piece of Velcro while trying to prepare for a party, trying to run the farm. And you know what? I canceled all my lessons yesterday. I was like, forget it. I can't do it all. So, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. Like this morning when you were like, who do you want to lead the interviews for? And I'm like, nobody. I want to do nothing.
I'd like to sit here
and just drink coffee, actually, if I could. You can hear me at really bad ads. I'll be back.
Well, you do have a busy time. Now, I got to ask you, if in the party, are you having a bouncy house? And if you are, you really should check the weather for windy forecasts before you.
You're obsessed with that news story years ago that a bouncy house flew away
in Arizona.
Bad windy day. In Arizona, I know.
And like kids were in it. Away. It hit like hundreds of feet in the air with the kids in it.
Due to that, Glenn, I have opted to not have the bouncy house due to the fact that I'm just overwhelmed. And we're having a pool party. So okay. Hopefully it won't, you know. Well, you don't hope for not rain here. It won't rain, knock on wood. And so we're going to have just a pool party cookout. And I'm actually making it potluck. And no presents, please. No presents. However, Lucas has requested that in lieu of presents,
Yeah, this is the last year. This is the last year you're going to get away with that, because when he turns three, he's going to want presents. You got this year. This is your last year.
Yeah. Are being made to Lucas's favorite charity. He requested it, Glenn.
Oh,
he requested it. Yeah. MASH horses will and not only this, I didn't tell people this, but it's actually the MASH Horse Castration Fund. So your money goes directly to brain surgery for horses.
So let me get this right.
Part on the invitation.
Let me get this right. Your donation for a 2-year-old's birthday party is to make sure we don't have any more 2-year-olds. That's what it comes down to.
See, it's all cyclical, Glenn. It's all a cycle. My child has made me realize everything needs to be castrated. Horse castration.
Well, I got a story here. This is a cool story, and it's a Good Friday story. The oldest living billionaire, David Rockefeller, is still a living at 100 years old. They say he's Rockefeller, you know, he's one of the direct descendants of the Rockefellers. He's a grandson of John Rockefeller Sr., who is the one who made all the money. Well, they estimate that the current David Rockefeller is worth about $3.2 billion. And he donated, they own a good piece of property up near Acadia National Park in Maine. The American Driving Society had their annual meeting up there last year, and we didn't get up there. But I heard that it's just an absolutely beautiful place. We've been to Maine, but I've never been to Acadia. And it's supposed to be really, really neat, the national park there. Well, the Rockefellers owned a huge chunk of land there, and he's donating that land to the state of Maine for his 100th birthday.
Wow.
And one of the things he did when they actually bought the land, they built a house on it. They're keeping the mansion on the property, a house. It's not a house. It's a mansion. They're keeping the mansion. But when they're big carriage drivers. They always have been. The Rockefellers are still carriage drivers. And when they designed this, they had the carriage pathways built in such a way that they would oversee the most scenic parts of the property. So you get views everywhere you go, and the American Driving Society last year got to drive that road. And then he also did plantings and things and did things so that you wouldn't see the edges of the roads, so it would all be kind of natural and fun, and it just came out absolutely stunning, and so he donated that for his 100th birthday. So I just thought that was a good story for a Friday.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
It's great for the people of Maine. And I know we have some listeners up there, so you guys have fun with your new toy.
Yeah, because I'm sure they're just going to be able to
yeah.
get on over there.
Yeah.
Hey, remember you posted a picture of poor Scooter.
Poor Scooter.
No, not Scooter. Beaker, your other horse that had been attacked by mosquitoes.
Oh, God. Yeah, he had 1,000 bumps on him.
Is it any better yet?
Did yeah, well, we put his mosquito halt. We did get mosquito halt yesterday, by the way. We got that yesterday afternoon. Thank you for that recommendation. We'll try that. We haven't got a chance to try it yet. But what she did do was put his fly sheet on, the one that covers him from head to tail. And it's white, and it freaked out the other horses. Scooter was freaked out. The other horses around were just freaked out at this white ghost that was out there. But that seemed to help. We managed to cover most of his body in sheet.
Yeah, good luck with that. I've never found one that doesn't rip in like 2 days and leave a big open patch. But I found a list because the mosquito halt, while effective, smells like cancer.
It does. It does smell bad. You're awful. Right about that. I tried it this morning and it was like, ugh.
Yeah. It's really bad. It'll make your mouth taste funny just by being around it. But just be careful. The bottles, if they don't sit straight up and down, they do leak. And then you're pissed because you lost $17 worth of mosquito.
Okay, right, I'm glad you said that. Because when I brought the bottle over from the car and put it on the shelf, I went, wow, my hand's wet. I don't know why it's leaking.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Those are like the worst bottles.
Oh, well, good to know. I thought it was me. I was like, well, did I didn't hold it upside down. I couldn't remember doing anything that would make it leak.
Yeah, they just leak if they're on their sides at all. And don't put them in the sun either, because then they really leak. Anyway, I did find something else that should helpfully relieve all the cancer CFCs that you're putting on your horse's skin. And this is the top five plants. This is me, one of my little vegan, herbal, happy, fun mom pages. The top five plants that repel mosquitoes. Now, I don't know if they planned on this for horses, because I'm pretty sure my horses would eat most of this. So you'd have to put it around somewhere where the horses wouldn't eat it. So the number one top five plants in no order is lemongrass. Do you know what lemongrass is?
Yeah. I know what it looks like. Yep.
Yeah, so I just can't imagine that horses would need that. But apparently it's easy to grow, requires no special care, and thrives in sun or shade. It can get 3 feet tall.
Huh. Lemongrass does get tall. Now, is this stuff you're supposed to take and put on the horse, or you just grow it around where the horses are?
Just grow it around. Okay. Like if you have a little barn, you know, like go ahead and grow it on the outsides of the barn or outside your paddocks or I don't know, whatever your setup is. This would be very hard for me because I don't have, you know, I'm kind of in the desert. But another one would be citronella. The citronella candle, that actually is a plant. Like the oil is a plant.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
So I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I learned so much on these websites, but apparently you can plant that in your yard and get the same benefit. And another one is marigolds, beautiful little yellow flowers. You can plant marigolds in and around your vegetable garden to help deter bugs that like to nibble on young plants. And it's also a good benefit if you put it in flower pots and set it around your deck. It will help repel mosquitoes.
I didn't know
that's really cool. I didn't realize that. The fourth one is mint, and apparently mosquitoes don't like the smell of mint, and it grows very rapidly. It's super hardy, and you can pick the mint leaves and rub them on your skin as a mosquito repellent, or just put the plants in your landscape.
Interesting. It'll definitely smell better than mosquito halt. It's
like... Oh, God, yeah. And you know what I'll do with the mint is after you are done rubbing it on your skin, go ahead and put those mint leaves in a glass with some bourbon and sugar water, and you got mint juleps. I mean, it's win-win.
Maybe pick a different one. Maybe, you know, not the one you rubbed on your skin. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you'll have plenty. And then the last one is rosemary. And rosemary is super strong. If I cook with rosemary, I put just a tiny little pinch because it's so fragrant and has such a flavor. It's very Mediterranean. So it thrives well in draining soil and full sunlight, doesn't require much water. And if you live in a warm
and it grows
climate,
like crazy,
survives
it grows like
the
crazy.
Winter. Yeah. So it apparently it's a shrub and it can get large. I when I was in Spain and we trail rode, there were wild rosemary bushes that would grow and they were tall. They were huge bushes, so of course I would just reach down and break some off, and I ended up, all the rosemary I use is from Spain because I dried it in a book. So I would feel very fancy having my Spanish rosemary. But apparently it works really well around to repel mosquitoes. So those are the five things to repel mosquitoes: lemongrass, citronella, marigolds, mint, and rosemary.
We had a lot of comments on that, too. A lot of people had ideas about that on our Facebook page. Man, there were a lot of comments on the mosquito thing. We're not the only ones that have to fight mosquitoes.
No kidding.
There were tons of different comments there, which was interesting. Let's see here. What else? Something interesting happened, too, over in Germany. And this dates back. This has to do with horses and Nazis, ironically enough, and Hitler. And anybody that's seen pictures of the Third Reich and seen pictures of the office where Hitler worked, more like the big monolith where they housed the Nazi party, you'll see in those pictures huge sculptures of horses. Well, those sculptures were done by a guy by the name of Joseph Thorack, and he actually was commissioned by Albert Speer, the Nazi Albert Speer, to do those sculptures back before, well, the Nazi Party was just starting to come into play in Germany. Well, this sculptor, Joseph, was known for doing very big art. And he did these, what they are dubbed the walking horse sculptures. And there were two of them. And they were at the outside until the war ended. They were on this building. It was the Chancellery building in Berlin, where Hitler's office was. So they were there till the end of the war. Then the Russians got them, and they weren't sure what happened when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989. The horses went missing, and they weren't sure what happened to them. Well, the German police got wind on the black market that there might be two very large horse sculptures for sale on the black market. Now, these are 16 feet high, 33 feet long. Okay, this is not something you pick up and carry around in your car, all right? You need a crane with this baby. So these huge sculptures were apparently coming on the black market. Well, the police in Germany ended up raiding several places that were known to have black market art, and they actually found these two sculptures that have been missing for almost 30 years, and that they had no idea what happened to. Well, apparently they were stolen when the Berlin Wall came down, and when Germany fell apart there, they were stolen, and nobody knew where they went, and somebody had them, and they made some arrests, and they also found a ton of other art that dates back to Nazi time that had been stolen or went missing. So they found these huge statues. I'm sure the Germans will be putting them someplace on display. But there you go. The walking horses have been found, in case you were wondering.
It reminds me of the movie. What was the movie with George Clooney?
Oh, that was a good movie, too. The art one.
I am idiot. Yeah, the movie was.
Jennifer probably remembers.
George Clooney.
We saw it. It had a whole bunch of big names in it. Was it called?
Yeah, Bill Murray was in it. Yeah. John Goodman was in it.
The Monument Man.
The Monument Man. Yeah. That was a good movie. I'd watch that again. Yeah. That was a good movie.
It was, but apparently it got panned by critics. Everybody hated it, but I really liked it. I thought it was super interesting. And I mean, the fact that that's a true story is just amazing.
Well, now
that reminded me of it.
I think our guest has bailed out on us, huh, Jennifer? We don't seem to locate our first guest here.
Haven't been able to find Jessie. She must be somewhere where her cell phone can't get reception.
Okay.
Or she has keeled over from paint fumes from customizing hats. One or two.
Okay. Well, get her on a different time.
No glam and grit custom hats.
All right, Jamie, you're the one that keeps me up to date on American Pharoah news. I haven't really seen any over the last couple of days. What's the latest?
I was going to tell you. Okay. So American Pharoah went back to Churchill, which is weird because he didn't ship directly to Belmont.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that that's where they wanted to go. But apparently they just wanted to go home, and he does better at home. So he returned to the track yesterday for the first time since Saturday. So he had about 4 days off. I'm sure they hand walked him and grazed him and all that. You know well that they ain't going to turn him out. So he probably had some nice, by the way, when he went from Baltimore to Louisville, what's that like, a 10-12 hour
drive?
Yeah,
10-12 hour drive. Yep.
10-12 hours.
Yep.
Yeah, he flew.
Of course.
He just put him in a
plane. His private jet.
And flew him from, Baltimore to Louisville.
Do you think he fits in that private jet's leather seats there? Do you think they bring him inside and he can sit and have champagne? The bathroom's probably not big enough, so probably need to.
Would you like a martini? Yes, I would. You can see him sitting there with his legs crossed. That's how he lives now. Especially when you realize he's been sold, his breeding rights have been sold for like $1 billion. So
you know what's funny is I can kind of see Baffert sitting beside him. I can visualize him.
Yeah. Baffert's the one that's got the shaker and he's like,
yep.
You want some more, Pharoah? Pours it for him. And he's like, you only get two because you're in training.
I can have 12. I don't even know if Baffert drinks.
I'm pretty sure He probably does. No, I'm just guessing. So anyway, he had 4 days of rest, and he went back out to the track yesterday and jogged the 1 mile oval once around. So he said the Baffert's chief assistant, Jimmy Barnes, says he looks really good. I couldn't be happier. His energy level is good, too. So they are happy. I'm just keeping you up to date. Not much to tell, really.
Are they still pointing him? They're still talking about heading him to New York or what?
Oh, yeah. Did you know that if he went, you know, we talked on Wednesday, his breeding rights were sold.
Right.
So as long as he races, he still belongs to the Zayats. But Coolmore bought his breeding rights, and they're saying upward of $20 million is what Justin Zayat accidentally said. Upwards of $20 million plus, if he wins the Triple Crown or the Breeders' Cup, they get extra bonuses.
Okay. Well, yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Bonuses. Yeah. It reminded me of the Secretariat movie. It's like, he better win. Or people are pulling out. You know, it was funny.
Well, let's take a break for our title sponsor for today's show, and that's Kentucky Performance Products. And we'll be right back with more for you in just a minute.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trail and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall, the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
I can't tell you how much we appreciate Kentucky Performance Products and the support they've given us through the years here at the Horse Radio Network, and especially on the Horses in the Morning show. They've been our title sponsor on Fridays since day one, and that was before we did really bad ads. And I think she was a little concerned when we said we were going to start doing that, but it's still everybody's favorite segment. We're going to play our song a little early while Jennifer gets the next guest lined up for you today. And I got a special treat for everybody. This is a girl that we mentioned once before. Her name is Fleur Magali, and she is from Switzerland. And this is her newest song. She just came out with this. She wrote it and sang it. And you can hear more of Fleur doing a complete interview with me over on the Stable Scoop radio show. This week just came out this morning. It's the whole episode is nothing but Fleur and I. She's absolutely delightful. Grew up in a little town in Switzerland of 3,000 people in the Alps. I mean, she just has these stories to tell, and she's just absolutely delightful. So I want you to hear some of her music. This is called Hungry for Her Love, or For Your Love, and it is by Fleur Magali, and you can hear more of her over on the Stable Scoop radio show.
Mind, bite me, complete that line. so hungry for your love. I get oh, oh, for your love.
And that was Hungry for Your Love by Fleur Magaly. Is that how you say it, Glenn?
That's right, Fleur Magaly.
You say it so much prettier.
Well, I talked to her yesterday, and she gave me lessons. So, and she also told me a whole bunch of things, and I didn't know they spoke Swiss German over there. And she told me a whole bunch of things in Swiss German. I had no idea what she was talking about. So, but her name is Fleur Magaly, and she has a third name, but I couldn't pronounce that at all. I was like, forget that. I can't. That ain't gonna happen.
The famous middle name.
Yeah. And Fleur means flower in French, by the way.
Well, that was a stretch right there. Yeah. Yep. Well, on with the show, so to speak. I'm just thrilled that Shauna Koresh is back with us again today, the author of You Can Train Your Horse to Do Anything and the gal behind On Target Training. Welcome to the show, Shauna.
Thank you. It is so nice to be back and hear your voice.
Hi, Shauna.
I know.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Now, before Shauna gets started, though, she has to be able to pronounce the name of the university where she is going correctly.
It's the University of Guelph.
That's right. And our host of the Dressage Show, Philip, who's a Grand Prix rider up there, lives near Guelph. And when I said it wrong one time, he just lambasted me. So now I'm very conscientious of the word Guelph, which apparently I have said wrong on numerous occasions. So,
does it mean flower in French?
I have no. I'm going to look Guelph up while you guys are talking. I'm going to find out what a Guelph is. I want to know what a Guelph is now. All right, go ahead. Sorry. You're allowed to teach there.
Well,
you can say it.
Well, the University of Guelph is in Canada, folks, for those who haven't guessed. Now, explain to us, Shauna, why you are going to the University of Guelph in Canada.
Well, what I'll actually be doing, I will be doing working with them from online. So I won't be going there myself, although I've been there. But I will be working online with them, and I am a guest speaker or guest lecturer for a week during their advanced equine behavior course. So it's the third time I've done it, and it is I'm really tickled to do it. So I get to teach and share what I've learned about equine behavior, and it's growing all the time. You know, the business is growing. We're learning more. We're learning how they think and process information neurologically as well. So I get to help new people learn all about it, and I'm really excited about it.
So this is a course on behavior versus training, or are those two interchangeable?
That's actually a really good question. It is. They are interchangeable. Now you can be as a trainer, you're tapping into changing behavior. A behavior is focused on changing behavior and the study of behavior. And so as we train, we're trying to shape and change behavior. So the more you know about the science behind behavior, because a lot of people train without understanding what they do, or they have what's, you know, oftentimes referred to as pseudoscience. So something's been touted as this is the term, this is the name for this, but it's not based in anything but some anecdotal experience. And so,
right.
Which is, you know, says a lot, but as we quantify it and learn more and put together and get a bigger pool of knowledge, we actually will have more solid facts. But the more we learn about behavior and what's behind it and scientifically and can pull from that pool of knowledge, we will become better trainers. So understanding the behavior and why they do what they do on a true sense, not just what we've kind of come up with, but really how to affect it and change it and make it, you know, to be the best they can be is will make you a much better trainer. So they still go hand in hand, but you can do one without learning the other. But if you put them together, you're just going to skyrocket as far as your efficacy, you know, and being a better trainer and a better partner for your horse, really.
So is this course part of a larger program going on currently, or is this just a standalone?
No, it is part of their equine science certificate. So if you, there's some courses that they have that are their required courses. So you have to have certain ones for your, and so you can get different, actually. They have a whole equine program. So you can get different certificates in different parts of, you know, you can have equine business management. You know, I mean, you can have different mm-hmm. things that you can do. So this is part of the equine science certificate, and it is mm-hmm. one of the elective courses. So you don't have to take this one, but it's, so there's core ones, and then there's a few elective ones. So this is one of them. But it's been shown that's really growing in popularity. I think it's interesting, too. I've got a chance to teach at some vet schools just on a, you know, as a guest lecturer and stuff. And it's amazing that the veterinary schools don't require more behavior. To me, it is. Because they're going in and having to do things to horses that maybe aren't willing, you know. So it's nice. I feel mm-hmm. I feel honored when I get to go in there and teach those people too. But if we're going to be in the equine industry on any part that I think is directly related to the horse, it is really going to behoove people to learn about the behavior behind it and what motivates them. And it's really we've tried to simplify the terms equine advanced equine behavior. But what I focus on more than anything is called applied learning theory. And so it's mm-hmm. really trying to study the behavior, but more specifically, how they learn. So when we understand more how they actually learn and process information, we can really tap in to streamlining the process or creating the right emotional state that's part of it. One of the things, there's a man named Jaak Panksepp, and he is, I think he's out of Stanford, maybe Washington, but he's done some stuff with Stanford, and he is he does neurobiology, and we're learning more about what parts of the brain are being utilized to learn through the different training methods. We're learning about when, you know, dopamine spikes, when serotonin level rise. So this whole area of neurobiology is definitely opening up big time what we're understanding about learning in general, but specifically about learning with animals, since they kind of aren't. They're not capable of really expressing it quite so directly as a human. But we're even one of the things we've learned that they've learned, the scientists. I like to kind of clump me in there, but really I didn't do that.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, exactly. We scientists at Stanford. But anyway, so some of the things they found out, and I think this is fascinating, is that the traditional training, which is pressure release based training, versus positive reinforcement training, which is what I focus in and teach people about, it actually uses a different part of the brain. So the part of the brain that processes through pressure release is what it's like. It's the part related to fight or flight, and it can actually be called the rage circuitry. But so it's the fight or flight part of the brain. So it's like, well, what do I do with this? And the positive reinforcement side actually activate something called the seeking circuitry, which was related to play. So it is at play and the things they need to survive and the things they want to survive. So that they have use a very different parts of the brain means that it is also has a different emotion attached to it. And I mean, I think the ramifications of that are just potentially ginormous. You know, so if we can tap into that and recognize and create new, better emotions. So when we step up and go, let's do this, and they're like, I love this. I'm all in. As opposed to, okay, well, I'll do it. You know, so it's just a very different, very exciting time, I think.
Yeah. So if I'm going to do a very dangerous thing here, I'm going to anthropomorphize. In a human being, human beings have a tendency to be, as individuals, left-brained or right-brained.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to use one part of their brain more than the other. So mm-hmm. if a horse is the same way in that each horse as an individual is going to be more prone to using one part of his brain or the other, would it not make sense to be for the trainer, the human, the person who works with him every day, to be able to tap into both sides of that brain and take advantage of the horse's stronger part, but also be able to cultivate the weaker part?
Yes, I mean, for sure. And I don't even, sometimes I think it's different part of the brains, but there's also, I think, different learning experiences that also kind of add to this. So as much as people want a recipe and they're like, if I do this, I do exactly this. And if I do this, I get exactly this. There's just no such thing, because as they've gone through their learning experiences and the learning experiences of the people who have handled them, you know, it all kind of factors in to create who they are today. So I think it's really,
Yeah.
And so I think it all contributes. So my big, when I go teach a lot of times, and what I remember is one specific time being in the UK, and somebody say, I hate asking you and Hannah, who I also have connection training with, that I hate asking you questions because they always start with, well, it depends. I mean, you'll say, it depends on, you know, and you'll have a couple of scenarios, but they're individual. So, you know, the kind of shut down horse who's learned just to be obedient, but is not very, you know, involved. So they're like, I'll just wait till you tell me what to do. I won't do anything. And then you have the ones like, I'm going to do whatever I want, you know, and they're just, you know, bouncing around trying to test everything in the whole world. I'm going to go about them, one, maybe has lots and lots of energy, and I'm trying to bring them down to calmer, focused, more, you know, more emotional control, more impulse control, and more attention span. And the other one, I'm trying to say, come out of your shell and try stuff and do stuff. So while I'm working towards the same even balanced place, I'm going to be coming to it from different sides, knowing, just like you said, the quiet guy needs more encouragement and more, you know, reinforcement for just the littlest try. And the other one, you're like, okay, rein it in a little bit. Show me a little bit of, go, okay, I'm going to try and focus. So I will, you know, kind of adjust those. But definitely, just as you said, they are individuals that come with their own background, their own nature, nurture, all of that. So I think it's really important that we look at them as individuals and adjust accordingly. And I think that understanding behavior, again, helps us to start to see that and kind of go, wait, I'm getting, we're in the right direction. I'm going to keep going here, or I need a new change of tack. And I think the thing that's great is about positive reinforcement training, because it's new for most people. While it's proven science, I made none of it up, it is proven, it's quantified, but it's new for us horse people. I mean, it started with the marine mammals and it eventually found its way to dogs. But it's when we, through traditional training, sometimes we go along and it goes great for a lot of horses, but there's a lot of horses out there we'll come to and we'll go, this just isn't working for you, so I'll try more of the same. And we can become, the horses can become sometimes more fractious or more shut down. So having this as another tool in the toolbox, as people like to say, it gives you another dimension and another something you can add in. And once you discover it, mm-hmm. a lot of times there's no turning back. I call it training crack. It's so fun.
Stuff.
Yeah. Because they love it. The horses love it. We love it. It's so effective.
We love it.
Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, who's allowed to take the course? Could anybody sign up for it? Do you have to be a student?
You know, that part, I am not 100% sure. I think that you need to sign up for the program. So, but what that entails to get to, that is a question I'm not exactly sure. So I would, you know, the best thing to do would be go to the Guelph's website. So I think it's equinestudiesonline.ca, because it's Canada. So just like we think, equinestudiesonline.ca, and it will show you, it'll take you to their website, and you can find out what it entails and what needs to happen to get signed up. But no, hang on a second. I just went there and it says for registration, review the website for program information. Well, there you go.
Here we go. S-C-U-D-I-E-S.
And I found out that Guelph is spelled, by the way, that's spelled G-U-E-L-P-H. Guelph, it has no great meaning. It was a member of one of the two great factions of the Italian medieval politics, traditionally supporting the Pope against the Holy Roman Empire. So there you go.
Naturally.
Well, there you go.
So are they a little rambunctious and feisty up there, Guelph? Is that where they got the name? Because...
They must be.
I was expecting it to mean like sword or, you know, rock or hammer. But nope. It's a bunch of revolutionaries.
It's a great place. I mean, and they have lots of equine stuff. It's really a good school. I quite enjoyed my time up there and seeing what they were working on. That was years ago. I was up there and but it is good.
That's only about an hour out of Bromont, from the way I understand it. So it's not going to be too far from where the World Equestrian Games are coming up. And also the Pan American Games is coming up in 2 months here. So
that's really true.
That's all up in that area. So, yeah, really cool. Great place to visit in the summer.
Yeah. that is very true. Summer, beautiful. Let's just move to Florida for the winter, though.
Shauna, why don't you give out your website address as well?
Okay, I am. You can just go to shaunacarish.com, which is, it's on Target Training, but shaunacarish.com, I think, is easier because there's no hyphen. So it's S-H-A-W-N-A and then K-A-R-R-A-S-C-H. Is an easy way to do it. And we also have an online website that we just started about a year ago that we're refining and doing a new launch on today or in the next probably week or so. And that is connectiontraining.com. And that is an online home study courses for people who really want to learn how to implement positive reinforcement training and have support through that process. And so if you want to learn more about really implementing positive reinforcement into what you currently do or as a standalone thing, Connection Training would just be a good place to learn more about it.
Very good. Thank you so much, Shauna. We appreciate you being here, and you have a terrific weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care.
Lovely talking with you.
All right. See you, Shauna.
Bye.
Next, we have to hear from Uncle Jimmy.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker. And the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it, and Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
Well, we thank Uncle Jimmy for his support of the show, and Jamie, be look on the lookout. I think Uncle Jimmy's sending you a little care package for Thor. So be on the lookout.
Nice.
I think even Mustangs like Uncle Jimmy's balls. So.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting to find out because I can't get that horse to eat a dang treat at all.
Really?
I give carrots every night and he just stares at it and sniffs it and he's very friendly, but he's like, no thanks. Apples, nothing. The only thing he has eaten is alfalfa pellets.
Huh. Well, yeah.
So this would be a good test.
Nothing molassesy though. Nothing treat wise that way with like molasses in it. He doesn't like the sugary stuff either.
No, he won't eat anything but alfalfa pellets. I've tried. I haven't tried any Uncle Jimmy's, but those little knicker things and all the things that are hard, he hasn't liked. So I'm interested to see.
You know what it is?
What he thinks about.
I know what the problem is. He's the horse version of a vegan. He won't eat anything yummy, tasty, bad for you.
He's just like you.
That's what it
He's
is.
He's taking after his mommy.
Yeah. No wonder. No wonder I love him, Jennifer. Thank you very much.
Now just think about this. Let's transfer this. Think about how people who love and care about you feel because they can't give you treats.
That's true. Can't give you chocolate
it's
or
annoying.
Anything like that.
Look how that makes them feel.
Yeah. Look what you're doing to your friends.
I made chocolate zucchini muffins, Glenn, and you can make them because chocolate actually is cocoa. It's not all that milk and processed crap that you guys eat in your Ghirardelli. There's all sorts of fake stuff in there to make it taste good as well. But just using the cocoa
is vegan.
Okay, but that's the difference, is it tastes good. See, you keep overlooking alfalfa that part pellet. Of, yeah, Sweet alfalfa stuff. Pellet, you know, Uncle Jimmy's squeezy bun, you know, so yeah, just a difference there.
You. It is annoying to not have a horse that eats treats, trust me, I get it.
Hey, before we get into really bad ads, I just want to say that a couple housekeeping things as far as what's going to happen for you, the listener, with our new system is you won't change how you listen if you listen live. You can still continue to listen live. The player will be different. And apparently, well, with the Blog Talk player, when you went to listen live and went to a website or on your phone or wherever and went to our website to listen, you would have to refresh and then hit play and it would play the current show maybe. But it also showed the past episodes on the player. That will not happen. The new player is just a player. And when the show goes live, it has a little message that comes up and says, the show is now live, and you hit the little play button and you can listen. But it does tell you when the show is live. The one other thing too is if you are a caller that calls in to listen, I know there's a couple on there right now. If you call in to listen to the show, you'll no longer be able to do that. So we apologize for that, but you can listen on your phone on a player or on the website or on a computer or on an iPad or a tablet or whatever device you want to. We tested them all the other night and they all seemed to work. So, or you can listen to the recorded version later on our app or iTunes or wherever. So it doesn't mean you can't listen to the show. You just can't call in to listen to the show anymore. So we're sorry about that, but that's one of the things that's changing. Another thing that's changing is Jamie won't be able to play music, and I won't be able to mute Jamie, which I was kind of upset to find out about.
That's
the other
fair
day.
Trade. That's so, kind of a fair trade when you think about it.
So,
no,
Jamie.
No, it's not.
All right,
my little pony. My little pony.
Is there anything else you want to play now, you know, to get it out of your system? Because you're not going to be able to do
okay,
it anymore.
Hold on. All right, I'd have to get new tights. I'd have to get new tights.
Is that still up there?
It is. I love it. I love it. And here we go, just for you.
All right. You feel good now?
Okay.
You feeling better?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm
good.
All
right, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Or this week, really, I got to
say. All right. Go ahead.
Ew!
You haven't played that one in a long time.
There you go.
Ew!
Okay, go ahead.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing, he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trader. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trader, but tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trader, well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trader.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, something we do every Friday where our listeners submit really bad, usually Craigslist ads to us, and we have a little bit of fun with them. And it is brought to you by EquityMFG.com. Jamie, tell us about the manure forks.
Well, you know, we talk about the manure forks, the shake and fork, and then their unbelievable line of products that they have. And it led me to do a little research because I feel like I've told you enough. You know, we told you enough last week about the forks. But what I wanted to tell you a little bit about is the inventor of the forks. And we've had him on our show several times. Joseph is the kind of the evil genius or the mad genius behind the invention of the forks. And he's also the owner of the company. But Glenn, did you know that Joseph used to be, it reminds me of Charles Howard. Remember, Jeff Bridges played Charles Howard in Seabiscuit, and he started out as a bicycle mechanic. And as he was a bicycle mechanic, he was starving to death because nobody was fixing bicycles anymore. Everybody started getting cars, and somebody brought their car to Charles Howard, and he took it apart and like figured out how it worked and then improved on it. Well, did you know Joseph started out as a two-stroke engine mechanic?
No, I didn't know that. I know he's a helicopter pilot.
Well, yeah, this has nothing to do with that. He was a two-stroke engine mechanic that repaired and modified snowmobiles.
Okay, didn't know that.
Isn't that fun? So he used to repair and snowmobiles, but then he invented this clutch spring that brought the snowmobile to life. And then he created this spinoff company, and all these like snowmobile racers started using all of his products. But because there was more power going on the track, traction became an issue. So then he invented a wedge-shaped cleat that bolted to the track. But then the cleats were so successful, they were copied, and then every snowmobile track owns, apparently uses the original paddle cleat, or at least stole it. So then the paddle cleat resorted to more snow shooting out from behind. So then he invented side skirts. Side skirts for the snowmobiles that threw too much snow out because of the paddle cleats that he invented because of the clutch spring. Like, this guy is a freaking genius. It's insane. I was reading all this and I'm like, oh my gosh. So then he's now like, he's built more than 100,000 rib skid plates for Polaris, Yamaha, Arctic Cat, and Ski-Doo. So what does an evil genius then do? Get into horses. He gets into horses, right, falls in love, and realizes that, yeah, this whole picking a manure thing is for the birds. So let me figure out a smarter way to do it. And then, thus, the flex and fork, and then the shake and fork was invented. Now, the shaker rake is a screened version of the motorized manure fork, and they have used it in the Gulf during the BP oil spill for sifting oil tar balls out of beach sand. Are you freaking kidding me? They use these screened shake and rakes on golf course bunkers, beach bars, lakefront resorts, construction sites, and playground sandboxes. And I use it in my backyard to pick up dog poop. So thank you, Joseph, for being the creative mind that you are and improving the world one poop ball at a time.
When you say evil genius, I will have to dig this out and post it again. I just have this vision of him in that video where he's testing the fork by slamming it onto the ground. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes. I'll have to dig
that one out again, because he looks like an evil genius in that particular one. It's like
a bam, mad scientist.
Bam.
Like,
how dare you challenge my fork?
Is the brains behind the fork. And you know what? I'm sure that he's like, he'll come in the house, and this is just me hypothesizing here, but he'll come in the house and be like, honey, I had another idea. And his wife is probably like, oh my God, please.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. What are we doing now?
File another round of patents. Call the lawyers.
Exactly. I love it. Jennifer just texted out, wonder if he has minions like Gru. Don't hit the button on his remote control. You'll be catapulted down into the underground bunker where you'll be surrounded by minions.
You've seen that movie way too many times.
Like a billion. Yeah.
Hey, the new one comes out. I'm so excited. It's coming out soon.
Minions.
So excited.
I can't wait. Oh. Minions is coming out. I think it's in July. There's
so much good stuff
happening in July.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out. I'm so excited about it. Well, now we are giving away, everybody that submits an ad over the course of the month, next week we'll probably be doing this. Everybody submits an ad over the course of the month, we are giving away an Equity Flex and Fork. And then everybody that submits an ad during the year will be entered into a contest to win the Shake and Fork, which is like a $300 value. So we are going to be doing that, I think, next week for this month. But every week we have a prize that we give away to that week's winner, and Jennifer's going to tell us what that is.
Today's prize is the much-coveted little square box of crap from Glenn's office.
And I got more crap.
Yay.
Because I had to clean out the office. We got all new tables and a whole new setup in here, so... yeah, I have crap. There's going to be more crap. You might get old dead microphones and cords and just all kinds of stuff. You never know.
The box of crap is actually really great for people like me who love, like, you know, books and little treats.
It's like
and
Christmas.
Random stuff that it's like Christmas.
You don't know what you're going to get.
It's like stocking
stuffers. Right. It's like opening up a Christmas present in May, almost June. All right, let's start the bad ads. Elizabeth, send in the first one. And
gosh, it is.
Jennifer's going to have to post this one on Facebook. Jennifer, you're going to have to post this one on Facebook. What this guy did was, let me describe the picture. He went around his junkyard, and it's what it looks like. He went around his junkyard, and he found this, what used to be a jog cart for a pony. And he said, I can sell that. And he took a picture. Didn't bother moving it. The grass is all grown up around the wheels, and the thing is falling apart. It was a little metal jog cart that had a wooden seat. And the wooden seat, if you sat on it, I guarantee you would break in half and you'd get splinters in your butt. But this thing is in very rough shape. It had bicycle wheels on it at one time, but there's no rubber left anymore. The critters have long eaten the rubber. So it's just the metal part. You're going to need to fix that. And it does. Well, you're going to need to fix everything. And this is what he says. Older pony cart, rough but fixable. For $125. Oh, and the only thing he puts in the ad is it needs new tires. Yeah, it needs a little bit more than that. Please don't take this out and hook it to a pony. Please.
Oh, do you feel like when I saw this with all the garbage in the background and everything, it was like the episode of Hoarders. And you're like, hey, the way we can make you feel better about getting rid of your crap is if we sell it for a lot of money. So let's post this thing. Because there's like tables upside down and sheet metal on the ground and plastic bins and tarps and just junk everywhere. $125. You couldn't pay me that much to take it.
You see the old blue bucket in the background? We have one of those at our farm, actually. We have one here. That blue bucket.
Yeah, Danny likes to swim.
Famous 55-gallon drum cut in half.
Cut in half, yep, exactly. Yeah. And Jennifer's going to post that one so you can actually see the picture of it on our Facebook page.
It's awful. The next one is from Scott, and it's for sale. World's ugliest saddle. Sadly, there's no picture, but I can give you a description. This is a saddle unlike any other that you've seen, smelled, tasted, or even sat in before. I haven't tasted any saddles.
I haven't either.
Have you?
No, I've smelled a few.
This all-purpose English saddle features a 16-inch seat, a medium tree, round cantle, and the distinct odor of old people. There is no maker's mark, probably because somebody was embarrassed. It's ready to ride in today if you want your trainer to laugh at you. I'll include leathers and stirrup irons. Now, you may be wondering, how could I ever afford such a magnificent creation? Well, hold your horses, keyboard warrior, because this majestic butt cushion can be yours today for only $65. Shipping is not included and no trades, please, unless you have a trained pygmy goat that is fluent in at least two languages.
We need this person on the show. We need this person as a guest.
I know. That's hilarious. Scott, send us the number.
A majestic butt cushion.
Hey, take a break here. I got to go get the kid. He, of course, wakes up during really bad ads. I'll be right back. I'll give him Despicable Me to watch.
Oh, there you go. That's good. All right, I'll do the next couple. Kelly Renner sent in the following. Free horse or pony? And that is in Floaty, where I don't know where Floaty is. I am looking for a free horse or pony. I live on a 10 AC, and I want one to love eat. I want one to love eat. That's what it says. I want one to love eat. I will be very good to it. Please let me know. Okay, so Jennifer, is he going to eat it, or is he going to be very good to it? Or is he going to be very good to it as he eats it? I'm not sure which.
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
Just a little.
I want one to love eat.
Yeah.
I think maybe he was meant to type something else, but when it came out that way, it wasn't so good. Maybe proofread your ad before you post it is my...
Yes. Have a friend read it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you should do. I really do that. Alex sent in the following one. I don't know where this is out of. Yuli. I have no idea where Yuli is. Fiberglass Appaloosa gelding, $1,800. Fiberglass Appaloosa gelding. Yeah. 15-hand Appaloosa gelding never needs fencing or feed. Easy loading. Comes with tack. Nice yard art. Great for all locations. Call only $1,800. And sure enough, there's a picture of a fiberglass horse with a Western saddle on it.
And it's an Appaloosa.
Why does it have those things? What? It has an extra set of stirrups on the butt.
Well, you can ride... You can
double.
Have two people
riding. Yeah, you can ride double. I've never seen that before. That's interesting. Well, this one probably doesn't.
Double fiberglass athlete.
And this one doesn't buck either. He didn't put that in there. It probably doesn't buck. You're probably not going to end up in the hospital. No. Getting around is going to be tough. These things are expensive. Remember we talked about the merry-go-round or the carousel horses and stuff, how expensive they were? These fiberglass horses apparently are expensive, too. $1,800
for that thing?
Yes. Yes, I know. They're not cheap. Maybe that's the saddle worth so much. What do you think? It looks like it's pretty dusty.
It's the extra stirrup.
Yeah. Did you see the stirrups on the butt, Jamie?
Yeah. Well, wait, it's for riding double.
Yep.
That's right. It's so logical.
Yeah. Why didn't we think of that? One more here, and then I'll let you do the next one. This is our horse trailer of the week. Oh my God, I've never seen
what
this.
What is this thing?
I don't know. It looks like something out of Star Trek. The horse trailer, $300. It's the right price. Of course, it's here in Florida. This was sent in by Sandy Murphy. It says all of the description is good condition. I don't know how to describe this.
I can't. It's a greenhouse for horses.
It does look like a greenhouse on wheels. Kind
of
does.
It's almost like you have to see the picture, but the bottom half is like slots and they're bars, and then the top half is from a fiberglass horse trailer, but it's no paint. It's totally stripped. So this is a nightmare is what this is. Can you imagine driving down the road? And it's also supposed to be a gooseneck on the top, but then they have it as a bumper pull.
Oh, yeah. The horses are going to just crawl right out the front. I don't know what the story with this thing is. But the tires, I will say there's two things about this ad that is in the positive column. They mowed the grass so you can actually see the thing. That's one. And two, the tires have air and look fairly new. So
they do.
Yeah,
they do.
Two good things about
wow,
that trailer.
That is an interesting trailer. If you see an ad that says horse trailer on Craigslist, click on it, please.
Yeah, because you never know what you're going to see. You just never
you
know.
You never know. I don't even know what that is. That is a contender for me. Cremello Stud Cow Bloodline Skip Premiere. That is the title of the ad. Cremello Stud Cow Bloodline Skip Premiere.
Stud Cow?
I don't even know what I just said. This is my 2-year-old colt. There's no punctuation here. Gemma sent this one in, by the way. Thank you, Gemma. This is my 2-year-old colt. He has nice bloodlines and excellent temperament. He's halter broke, and I've put a saddle on him, and he did fine. He is my baby, and I have had him since he was little. I raised him to be gentle, good-minded stud. I have put 3 and 4... Hold on.
This is where Jamie has a meltdown.
Mind you, this is a 2-year-old stud colt. I have put 3 and 4-year-olds on him bareback and lead them around on him. Not only is he the sweetest horse you meet, but he's also talented. He would make a great barrel horse. He loves to chase cows in the field, but the reason I am selling is because I'm planning a wedding for myself, and in this new chapter of my life, I need to make sure my horses have good homes that will keep me updated on how... Okay, there's no punctuation. I gotta take a breath. Well, keep me updated on how they're doing. If you have any questions, feel free to call or text anytime. Thanks. Hold up. You're putting 3 and 4-year-old kids on your baby, but you have to sell him because he was so
green
calm.
Green,
but he would make a great barrel.
Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on the hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
That choked me up. That was...
This is what we have something for that person. There you go. We have to get all the sound effects in today. We have to play them all.
He would make a great barrel horse because he loves to chase cows.
Usually there are no cows in the arena, right? Yeah. Usually just some barrels.
Very exciting.
There is so much wrong with this ad. Gemma, good job. Heather sent this one in. Horse needs a student slash friend. $1,500 in New Brockton, Alabama. My name is Roger. I'm a registered Taviano paint. I am 15 hands tall and 18 years old. When I was four, my girl master was 14. Sounds dirty. When I was four, my girl master was 14. I can't get past. When I was four, my girl master was 14, and we were great trail riding buddies for many years. We had great times and played a lot, but she grew up, went to college, and moved far away. I am too good a friend and teacher to just stand in the field for the rest of my life. I am looking for another person who needs a gentle, steady horse they can have confidence in. I have power steering, power brakes, and a real good reverse. If you're looking for a challenge or a trip to the hospital, don't buy me, because I'm the perfect gentleman on the trail. I'll go over wherever you want me to go, and I'll be really easy doing it. We can take care of each other. Hope to hear from you, because I need a new friend. That made me want to cry. It's like, oh my God, the master moved away, and he's out standing in the field all by himself, and the girl doesn't even come back and talk to him or feed him carrots or nothing. Just saying.
But when he said, he was like, and then she moved away, I'm like, that bitch. She left this poor, sweet, innocent little baby out of the pasture, and all he is lonely, and he wants a new friend, and he doesn't have anybody to be in trees, and he's so nice. You know what? Maybe they'll trade him for like a really, really unbroke horse.
Yes. There's lots of those. There's lots of those available.
Poor Roger. If you live in the area of New Brockton, Alabama, if you don't need a new horse, at least, dear God, go give him a carrot.
It's Beaker. This is Jennifer's horse Beaker right here. It really is. Yeah. It's Jennifer's horse Beaker. Everything is the same.
Actually, when you were reading it, I was thinking, this is a horse Jennifer would get.
Just so she has nothing to talk about on the show. It's also the first horse named Roger I think we've ever come across. I just wanted to throw that out. That's...
Poor Roger. Poor guy. Well, they just tugged at my heartstrings. And I still think Roger wrote the ad, but it wasn't Roger. It was that bitch who left him. So I am like really mad. Okay. Beth sent us the next one, and the title is misleading. The title leads you to believe you're going to get one thing, but I think you're going to get something else. Quarter horse coat. A coat made from quarter horses. Are you joking? Quarter horse coat. $450. Oh, gosh. See, this is the theme for the day. 8-month-old stud. Let me repeat that. 8-month-old stud, very gentle and sweet, bought him for the kids. They're going to grow together. 8-month-old stud, very gentle and sweet, bought him for the kids. Kids too little. Yeah, you think?
God. Oh, my God. Oh, I got to play it again.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on the hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fry.
Uh-oh.
You hear?
Speaking of kids. Kids too little. I'll do one more. How about that? Horse for sale.
All right.
500. You got to run? You can run. I think.
So to you guys, don't have to hear the screaming.
Well,
I love you guys.
All right.
Have a great
day. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a terrific weekend.
Hopefully the husband will be home.
Hopefully. If not, I think there's going to be a revolt in Arizona. So I got one more.
Children for adoption.
Yeah, there you go. Children for adoption. Uta sent in the following one. Horse for sale, $500 in Mansfield. 12-year-old mare for sale. Up to date on shots and farrier. Her teeth done last fall. Bathes, clips, ties, and trailers like a dream. She is sweet and kind with her feet and has excellent ground manners. I am sure that the right person, with the right person, she will excel whatever you put your mind to. Now, Jennifer, for $500, you would go buy this mare in a second, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I'd take the perfect horse. I forgot the next line. She does require a very experienced rider with a high stickability factor, as she tends to buck like a rodeo bronc if she does not get her way. But call if interested. No tire kickers, please. I got news for you. All you're going to have is tire kickers. That's all you're going to have. I love how they set everything up and then just tear it down at the very end.
Drop the other.
Yep.
There you go.
Rides.
Draw them in. It's good marketing, Glenn.
Can you imagine the bucking if they actually put that in the ad? Could you imagine what it's like? Oh, my God. All right. I think, I don't know what your vote is, Jennifer, but I think for the box of crap today, how about Heather with the 18-year-old that Jamie had so much fun with, the Roger?
Roger deserves a box of crap.
Poor Roger. So Heather, who sent that ad in, you're going to get the box of crap. Congratulations. Good job. That was great. Roger. I did want to cry. I wanted to cry. He was dumped. Yeah. So we are going to call it a day, and we are going to call it a 5 years, 1,175 episodes on Blog Talk Radio with our crappy AM sound. Hopefully, when we come back on Tuesday, fingers crossed, during our schooling show on Tuesday, where you have to forgive everything that goes wrong, things will be much better, and you'll be able to hear everybody better. We're hoping that happens on Tuesday.
That podcast.
That's right. So we're setting the expectations very low. We have a couple of guests planned. We have Debbie from Horsemanship, who has a very exciting announcement with Jamie. And then also going to talk about Monty's 80th birthday party. And then we have Leslie from Horse Nation's going to brave it. But we can't guarantee anything. It all may be broke. I don't know. So tune in on Tuesday.
Bucking, rearing.
Yes.
Can't get in the horse trailer, so we'll be late.
Yes. All of that.
Flat tire on the way. You never know.
All of that. And that is providing that I can get around to figuring out how to change all the players and do all the technical stuff I have to do this weekend. So that's also going to be
Otherwise, we'll be there and nobody will
listen. We'll be there and nobody will be listening. So we hope you tune in anyway. I know most of you listen to the recorded version. Very few actually listen live. But to whoever our callers are that are listening, I'm very sorry that you can't do that anymore. But you'll be able to listen other ways. No worries. We'll make it happen. And again, thanks to all our auditors who were so kind to give up their time to help us out the other night. We really appreciate that as well. Have a terrific holiday weekend, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld is what Jamie would say. What can I play that Jamie hates before we go? Let me see here. What does Jamie...
Oh, you don't have Barn Cat loaded, do you?
No, I don't have Barn Cat, no. And I think I took Kegasus awesome. Out, too.
Oh,
so
you know what you should play? Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm going to play the show.
Hanging.
There we go.
So much
bye, everybody.
Wiener. Aren't you glad I washed your wiener? I admit it's kind of creepy that I had to stick my arm up in your peepee. It was sticky. It was gunky. It felt icky. It smelled funky. It was crusty. It was cruddy. When you stuck it out, it creaked like it was rusty. After half an hour of toiling and of squirting, baby oiling, you're as fresh there as a daisy. Either this means I love you or else I'm crazy.